For Melbourne Airport parking, it's cheaper than you think. melbourneairport.com.au. And Self Wealth. Trade the ASX, no matter what size the trade, for just $9.50 per trade.
On 11.16 SEN, Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Yelena Dokic is going to join us out of 8 o'clock. She's got a new book out. It's called Unbreakable. There were some revelations over the weekend in the press, and, well, it was as disturbing reading as you could possibly come across. So we'll be fascinated to speak to Yelena about it and the associated pressures that she grew up with. So that is out of 8 o'clock. But right now, Tim here always, thanks to AR Property Investment. Learn about property investment one-on-one. Mike Sheen is the most respected journalist this country's ever seen, in my humble opinion. And he's been good enough.
Daylight second.
You're taking the mickey out of me, Gaz, are you?
Daylight second.
Hello, Tim.
G'day, Mike.
You know I'm not. Who would I have ahead of you?
Gary, the Yelena Dokic.
Who would I have ahead of you?
I don't know. I'm flattered, thank you.
You don't have to be flattered.
The Yelena Dokic story is disturbing in more ways than one, and it's an indictment on the people who are running the game when she was a kid.
Australian tennis.
The world tennis. She curled up in a fetal position at the All England Club during Wimbledon because she was too scared to go home with her family, and no one raised any.
No one did anything about it.
Well, she's lying there in front of them in the players' lounge.
It's a very sensitive topic, though, isn't it? When you talk about somebody interfering with the child of somebody else,
do you think they may have asked her?
No, we'll ask Yelena this because I also saw a report yesterday saying that from an Australian tennis point of view, that there are so many offers of help and intervention, if you like, for want of a better term, and even the prospect of police charges, but it can't be done unless...
She presses.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but
that's what I'm saying. It's very
but
sensitive.
Couldn't the authority,
Well,
couldn't the authorities here, though, have said...
What authorities,
couldn't they just
though?
Have banned him? Couldn't they, the Tennis Australia, have said he's not welcome?
That's okay, but you banned him from going to the tennis.
Yes.
He's still her father, so she's still under his
correct
control.
But it does turn the focus on the family and the issues that may exist. I thought when she said how disappointed she was that even when she retired, no one came to her and tried to explore the situation
and see
how she was.
A different story. Like, we're going to put all those questions to Yelena, who's going to join
She
us.
Was 17, Gary, when she was at Wimbledon.
But it started a lot younger than that.
Started back when she was 11 or 12.
Yeah. And look, I think I'm probably... I had a daughter who was certainly clearly not in that range
you
in terms
play,
of talent, but
you
who was
tennis.
A tennis player. Mm. And you just think, I mean, the stories about coaches and tennis players...
Do you think it still exists to this day, though? Do you think that there are young kids still being...
Kate tells me there are.
...handled by parents like
Kate
this?
Was a tennis coach until last summer. She says there are.
Still today.
Yes. And it's more the emotional torment than the physical stuff.
Anyway, we can have this discussion after 8, because we'll talk to you later,
okay.
And we'll talk more broadly. There's a lot of sport on the weekend, and I know, and it's why I love, and I wasn't being condescending at all. I firmly believe that's where you sit in terms of our journalistic presence in this country, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on the weekend, particularly with a soccer game that it was being played in two parts, the first of which was over in Honduras, the second of which is going to be as big a sporting event from a soccer point of view as we had for a long, long time on Wednesday.
Well, we're not sure what will happen Wednesday. I accept what you say. And Mark Swartz has said the same thing about how big it will be. I thought Saturday's event, I watched it because I knew I was coming on here this morning. I thought it was rubbish. I couldn't believe what they served up in Honduras.
But who served up?
The game of soccer or world football. It was played on a cow paddock.
Yes.
There were no goals were kicked.
No. But that's not a prerequisite.
If there was a highlight, I missed it. And the best player in Honduras at the time, Tim Cahill, is sitting on the bench and not playing.
9-14, 9-11, 16. There you go. Rubbish. Bang. The ground was poor. The game itself was a poor display, and the Australians didn't play their right team. Do you agree or disagree? 9-14, 9-11, 16.
And if this code is as big as it is, and it's hard to dispute that, the Hondurans are coming out in a cattle truck, aren't they? And the Australians came home in first class.
They're flying economy still, so they're still on their way here.
It's
like they're doing the milk run on the way home.
Would the AFL
Whereas
wouldn't
Australians,
do that?
The Australians, no, they wouldn't. Because the AFL would have money as if
FIFA does.
No, FIFA does, but this is about the local, this is about the Hondurans,
isn't
how much
the
they
World
want
Cup?
To spend. This is the World Cup, but the Australians aren't getting their money. It's costing them $1 million, apparently, to get back here the way that they're flying. They've got a charter jet. That's right, charter the jet, all that stuff. But that's coming out of the local soccer.
Why?
Soccer Australia.
Why?
Because you have to pay for it yourself.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, why wouldn't FIFA? Why don't they ring Sepp and ask him to give a couple of mil back and they could charter a plane?
Well, hey, no pun intended, but Sepp's got his hands full at the moment.
As ever. I'm with you, Michael.
Thanks, Gaz.
But I mean, would there be any other side travelling, you know, 30 plus hours in economy?
No, there wouldn't be. No, well, but it's because of the state of their economy that they're not able to afford
but
to
if
travel
the Hondurans
like the Australians are.
I'm not pointing the finger at the Hondurans.
But Mike's point is that FIFA should cover the costs of all teams around the world.
Yes, they should. It's their event. It's a World Cup event. And this is a game that's played on the way through to the climax. And therefore, the governing body should pay for it.
Muzz on the line from Burwood. You can join in. 9:49, 11:16. You've offsided a few people off the SMS, clearly coming through. But that's what the debate's about. G'day, Muzz.
G'day, boys. Great show. Look, I just want to say, since AFL footy has finished, look, they haven't got... for the season. Look, AFL footy hasn't got nothing to worry about. I've been watching these summer sports so far, including that Honduras-Australia game. Soccer, it's an abysmal game to watch. Nothing ever happens in it. The A-League is boring as anything. NBL's basketball, unwatchable for most of the time. Cricket is in its dying stages. Please bring back the footy as soon as possible.
Muzz wants the footy 12 months of the year.
The criticism will be, and this is what's been levelled at you, and you would understand this, that this is, you're AFL-centric. And
so I am, Gary.
Here we go. Tell us again how no sport, this is off the SMS, compares to AFL, Mike.
But, Gary, I am AFL-centric, but I'm also prepared to be critical of the AFL when it's justified. Now, I remember the game in the finals when Richmond played Geelong and the first 50 minutes of that game was rubbish also. Yep. Three goals were kicked.
That's right. And you said that.
And
at
I
the
said
time.
That.
Yeah.
So
did you enjoy the grand finals when the Sydney Swans played against the West Coast Eagles?
Yeah.
And those low scoring games?
Only because of the conclusion.
So was there no tension in the game between the Socceroos and the Hondurans?
No, well, I didn't sense it. I must say, they've got to do a job to win me over.
Because a nil-all score is not unusual in soccer.
No, but I was interested in the highlights and the near misses and things like that, and there weren't any.
It would be hard to create highlights, would it not, though? And I didn't see the game on a cow paddock. I mean, you both described the ground as being a...
No, because then it'd be... Well,
because
again, I don't know.
The ball doesn't run truly.
No, there was
it
all
must
that.
Be difficult.
So from a purity of the game, if that's what you're after, then no. But in a perverse way, it set itself up for an even more entertaining game. I would have thought more of a slogfest, you know, the ball... You know what it was going to be. It was in tight. You had to adapt. Our soccer goalie, our man...
Nesky out there.
Nesky.
Did the Australians want to score, though? I mean,
Pipe, he just sat there twice. He jumped
did our Socceroos want to score, though? Or they were just going to...
No, well, they had three chances, the game Tim. And look, again, I always preface my comments on this game by saying I don't understand much, but two of them looked like they were gimmies for world-class soccer players.
Yeah, Jules.
Because this is all about qualifying for the World Cup.
Of course it is.
That is the number one priority, to qualify.
And an away goal would have gone a long way to doing that. Jim from Coosbury. G'day, Jim.
Hey, guys. There's no excuse for missing those goals, but I don't understand how FIFA allowed for that pitch. I mean, it was like the divots were so big, it was like playing golf with a shovel. From the first 5 minutes, it was incredible.
It was, wasn't it? You're so used to watching soccer here or from overseas on these pristine decks where the ball runs truly. Like, it's like they play it on carpet these days, don't they? And to see the ball plug... essentially plugged him. It was unbelievable.
Well, Tim, this is back to the FIFA argument, the FIFA role. You imagine the AFL putting a game on in Perth or Adelaide and not supervising the pitch, for want of a better expression.
Yeah, no,
here.
I think
and making sure it was up to stir.
No, it's a valid point. I mean, who went over there from the from FIFA just to inspect the ground? Did they have a ground inspection like they do here in Australia before an AFL game?
Well, it must have been Ray Charles who did it.
I heard the commentator who did a great job, Simon Hill, and... Andy Harper, who we spoke to last week, they said, I think, that the game was played there because most of the officialdom of the Honduras team live in the area and they didn't want to actually
they
have to
travel.
No, they only wanted to get a small Uber.
Adrian's in South Morang. Good morning, Adrian.
G'day, boys. Gary's introduced you as the Australia's best journalist, but you've just gone to town on a couple of bullet points that don't really make too much sense. I mean, the only thing is that the pitch was terrible. That's fair enough. But FIFA shouldn't have to be paying for everything. It's a right to win in the World Cup, and FIFA will reward you if you win. I think Australia are taking the gamble and doing the chartered flight to spend half a million or a million
and as a means to try and win 12 million for qualifying. But there's a lot that FIFA do to support the clubs in getting there. It's just we only know about, you know, the fact that they're in cattle class and not the Aussies. So I think you're being a bit harsh on the Hondurans or what other teams need to do in order to qualify for the World Cup.
Well, Adrian, I suspect it's where are they playing on Wednesday? It's
at ANZ.
ANZ. There'll be 80,000 people there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that can't generate enough to fly this team out in relative comfort.
It's not our obligation to fly the Hondurans.
The game needs to... This is the biggest event in the biggest game in the world.
What's wrong with travelling economy anyway?
Well, no, you've got to do it on even terms.
One of us travel economy, Mike.
You. How'd you go to New York?
Economy.
You sure?
Yes.
That's the first lie you've told this morning. Adrian, thanks for that. Was that Adrian?
That was
Adrian. Andrew's from Nidri. G'day, Andrew.
Okay, fellas. Look, Mick, I have a lot of respect for you, but you're totally off the mark with the game on the weekend. It's probably one of the best games I've seen for stress levels I've had the pleasure of watching because... It was just critical that we came away with at least a draw or possible win. The only thing Australia is lacking is a world class striker, and that's been a problem for us for a long, long time. Now I don't follow the A League. I follow all the Australian sides, but I think it was an excellent outcome for Australia, and I think you need to get on board and support the team rather than having pot shots.
Well, an excellent outcome for Australia, Andrew, is different to excellent entertainment. And I turned it on to see something. It's a world-class event, it's supposed to be, and that's what I wanted to see. And I must say I was totally disappointed with that.
And that's understandable, but you're not... You, like probably both of us, aren't as immersed in it as our hardcore. So they would say, we don't care what it looks like. We don't care whether it's entertaining for you, Mike, or for your other sort of fly-by-nighters who turn up every 4 years. We want to play in a manner that is going to get us there.
Well, how do you have an event where your aim is to not win it, just to hold them to a draw?
No. Well, they set that in their own mind.
But that's the game.
That's the game, is it?
That can be the game.
It's not about goals.
No, well, not when you're trying to qualify for the World Cup.
So you go across the world... To not win a game of...
Oh, hang on, let me read this. This is Aaron. I disagree. We played really, really well. What you guys don't understand is the game and how hard it is to do what we did. A lot of sides around the world would have parked the bus. That is, just sat back in the back half and made sure they didn't concede a goal. But we didn't. We dominated a side on their home ground, and they live and breathe soccer. I'm really proud of Ange and the boys.
Well, the only point of difference I'll make, Gary, I watched the international rules yesterday. Now, it didn't mean much to me. I wasn't immersed in that. But I will say something. It was entertaining. I mean, there were two teams who were trying to score and trying to win the game.
But that's different games.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
They're completely different.
But watch, isn't the fundamental of sport...
No.
...is the contest in which...
It's the contest.
...people or teams...
But
wait a sec.
The contest is not always entertaining.
Tim, you pit yourself against the other mob and the best team wins, and there's entertaining things along the way. We didn't get any of that Saturday.
Okay, Steve's in Brighton. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good, Steve.
The reason why I want to jump in and weigh on this debate is because it's quite obvious that we've got the producers have pulled out someone as an antagonist this morning, and that's great because it makes it more for an exciting show. What I would like to say is, Mike, you're great at football, but with soccer, you're quite welcome to your opinion. But from a technical aspect, I think you're missing the point, which the actual call of the train, and even Gary and even Timmy is trying to point out to you. So until you understand the technicalities as to why it was played in such a way, I don't think you should be even commenting this morning. But keep going, mate. And
well,
can't wait for football because we all love football and we do love our soccer.
Yeah, and Steve, I accept that I don't understand the technicalities of the game, but I am into entertainment. When it's an international event and it's on my television and I want to be entertained by it.
Yeah, well, that's where the fun, where people, I would imagine, our hardcore supporters would differ with you passionately. And that is, from our side, our AFL side, Mike, I don't care if Melbourne won a grand final 2-8 to 1-7 with a full-on flood in the back half.
I don't agree with you. I don't think you mean that.
I mean that with my whole heart and soul.
I reckon you'd come in here on the following Monday and say, I'm thrilled that my team's finally won a game of football, but it did nothing for the game.
Hey, no, Mike, the entertainment comes at the World Cup, Mike. These games are about getting there. This is about qualifying. It's not about entertainment.
It is great debate.
It's absorbing.
I know. At 9:14, 11:16, we'll continue to take your calls. Keep the SMSs coming through, whether you agree or disagree. It's fantastic. I respect Mike for having the opinion that he does. We all don't agree in the world. That's what makes it interesting, Michael. Thank you for your input this morning.
Is it entertaining, though, Gary?
That's the most important thing. It is for me. Your calls and other topics next.
For Melbourne Airport parking, book your Melbourne Airport parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And Self-Wealth, winners of the Australian Business Award 2017 for software innovation.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
And Mike Stern has joined us from Seven, and we appreciate having him in here. Let me say this. Mike has been provocative this morning, but not deliberately so. This is your belief, and that's absolutely fair enough. And it's stirred up a lot of emotion, which I love because it shows passion. But there is some of this stuff. Everyone doesn't have to agree. I mean, just because you say something that you don't agree with, you don't need to take it personally, which people, some of our listening audience have. And they get very personal about it, Michael.
Yes, they do. And I'm not attacking. This is not an opportunity for me to attack soccer as such.
You're not attacking the world game. I'm attacking that game.
I'm generally ambivalent about it, right? So, I know it's a world game. I understand that. Yep. But I did deliberately watch it on Saturday to know what I was talking about this morning. And now, if my view is amateurish, well, I'll accept that. But that was my genuinely held view.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you said. And for all the people texting in, which I love, by the way, it shows that right now, Australian football, soccer, is the game that is stirring up our passion the most. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, and there's so much at stake on Wednesday.
Gary, can I just make one point?
Yeah, you can.
All the people who have criticised me, they've all said we got to where we wanted to get, which is a draw, right? No one said to me, you missed this highlight and you missed that and you missed... No one's made a point about anything that was attractive in the game.
No, but our audience who are right into it, they accept that. They don't care, Mike. They don't care.
So they'll have you after 94 minutes to end up with a nil all draw.
Well, Dave has this to say this morning. Entertainment in sport is a matter of perception in any sport.
Correct. I agree with that.
So what entertains you may not entertain somebody else, and what entertains somebody else may not entertain you.
Correct.
And because you don't understand maybe the subtleties of the game, and this is no criticism of you, you may not understand the entertainment values in the game because you don't understand those things subtleties of the game.
But I don't understand a lot of the Olympic sports, except for I see them once every 4 years, but I know what entertains me.
Yeah, but you're not entertained by every sport, are you?
No.
So you don't like every sport. You haven't got an investment in every sport like you have maybe AFL football. But you're critical of AFL football. If you go to a game and you've come here on a Monday and said, that was a terrible game of football.
Yes.
Whereas we might have argued the fact, well, you know, tactically it was a good game. It was an absorbing game.
Yeah. And the point, Gary, that you made before, and I agree with this, Gary.
Yes.
Our beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
It is.
And it's the result that makes people determine. I mean, the Richmond people didn't care about any highlights in our grand final.
No, they did not.
They just cared about the result.
And here's
I understand that.
Here's a challenge for you too. I challenge you to go to Sydney, Mike, and sit through that game and not be entertained in Sydney. Can we get you up to Sydney on Wednesday night to watch the game?
Hey, it'd be fantastic. You'll be tuned in, as will the rest of the country. It's going to be massive on Wednesday night. Quickly, let's get through some of those calls because you've got... this is at a time of the year when it can be a bit quieter. This has got everyone going. James from Safety Beach. Go, James.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I was just wanted to point out that Mike saying it not being a beautiful spectacle and entertaining, that this is the world's 45th best team playing the world's 60-something best team on a cow paddock. You know, it's like watching the amateurs try and get into the VFL on a paddock. It's not going to be beautiful and lovely and great football. It's two teams trying their hardest to get into something important.
But James, the Socceroos aren't amateurs, are they?
No, but it wasn't Brazil and Spain playing against each other. They would have been able to make more of those conditions.
I'm not sure about that, Wisp. You didn't see the conditions.
Well, no, they would have been able to get it because they're more skillful.
John from Taylor's Lakes. G'day, Johnny.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, John.
Yeah, Mike, I've followed footy for a long time, and I'm a Mad Richmond supporter, but I also love my soccer. I was actually having a beer out of a Premiership Richmond can on the weekend, and it showed one of the grand finals in 1929, where it was 3-0 something. You're trying to tell me that the 100,000 supporters weren't riveted in that grand final? It's about the contest, Mike, and what the contest stands for.
You sure about that scoreline?
I am 100% sure about that scoreline. Go and check it, mate. It was the early 19.
I'm going to, Johnny. Don't worry about that. I'll check it.
1929. You were there. Thanks for your call, Johnny. Adam from Mill Park. Adam.
Yeah, morning, Jans. Morning, Mike. Look, just one thing, Michael. Just book yourself a flight to Sydney. Take yourself a grand gold for the night. If you tell me you've got any fingernails left by the end of the game, I'll go, hey.
I reckon you should go.
Why don't you go?
Well, it's just been raised. I'll ponder that.
Hey, what else have you got on Wednesday night?
You should be going making most of everything at the minute. Greg from Muralbark. G'day, Greg.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you doing?
Good, mate. Greg.
Hey, just quickly, Mike Sheehan, you're entitled to your opinion. If you want to call a boring game, so be it. I'd rather watch a pit bull have its way with me, mate. And another thing, guys, that aerial ping pong game of whatever crap you want to call it, international flog on the weekend, is just a joke too. If you really want to get excited about a game and you really want to go for the throat, our girls, fighting for the ashes, got absolutely no airtime, got absolutely pushed back in the shade again. Elise Perry eases a double century into the scorer's book, and nothing is said or done about it, and we're talking about this stupid zip-all draw against the bloody Honduras. And does anybody actually give a flying toss about that? Seriously.
About
a lot of people do.
And Honduras?
Yeah, a lot of people do, Greg.
Hundreds of thousands of people do, Greg.
Them to get a life.
Well, that's your opinion, though. They turn around to you and say, what, you expect us to put a free-to-air five-day game on television and watch England make 2 for 200?
Yep, it's more exciting than watching zip all.
That's it. Then it's the eye of the beholder, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love cricket as well. I could sit down and watch that, but others would say that they'd rather, pull teeth.
Yeah, have a snooze.
Andrew from Sydney. G'day, Andrew.
Oh, hi, guys. I'm saying, firstly, great show.
Thank you, Andrew.
One thing I would say, Mike, I mean, I watch a lot of sport, and I completely agree that the game wasn't a great game, but as a soccer lover, I was amazed by how well at times we could put play together on such a bad pitch. The fact that Aaron Moy could keep finding space, I thought was just amazing. It just shows how good he is. And yes, we missed some chances, but if we do score that goal, it's one of the biggest results in Socceroos history. So I thought they should absolutely be applauded. And I thought, Ange, for all the criticism he's got, I thought he picked a team that was spot on.
Well, he's going to live and die by it, Ange, isn't he? And we've got three players that can come back this Wednesday night. Fresh legs, Matt Leckie, Robbie Cruz and Mark Milligan. They'll make a difference. And maybe Timmy Cahill.
But maybe. Of course he'll play. I don't know why he didn't play the other day. Because the coach said he was fit enough. I'll tell you I think supports my point. When that, whoever it was, missed the relatively easy shot running in and missed the net, Ange Postecoglou went spare because he knew how important it was to get a goal.
Yeah.
And the goal, if we had have come home with a 1-0 win, this place would have been, no one would have worked today.
Yeah, but
it would have been more entertaining.
Importance. Of course it would have
you
been.
You would have been entertained then. That would have been enough for you to say this morning that there was a great game.
That would have been an element of entertainment, and they would have come home with a win, which is every time I've been involved in any sport, a team goes somewhere to play someone to win.
What about all the horns?
Tommy Urich you're talking about, by the way.
Yeah, weren't you entertained by the horns blowing?
Oh, yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Well, AFL players miss goals as well, you know.
I'm not bagging the bloke who missed the goal. I'm just sort of saying how important it was for Postecoglou.
Great conversation starter. Camwell Electrics have done it again from Mike Sheehan, your heating, cooling and appliance specialist. We're speaking, which was the best Aussie performance of the weekend? We started that at 6 o'clock. We spoke to Mark Schwarzer, by the way. A couple of people saying, what do you three AFL blokes know about soccer? Well, we don't profess to know anything. That's why we spoke to Mark Schwarzer. Paddy Mills tweeted and declared that Elise Perry was the clear standout of all of the Aussie performances on the weekend.
I'm with Paddy. Elise Perry is one of the great sports people of this country.
Mm. No argument there. Is she the highest profile female athlete we've got? Maybe Sam Kerr?
Yeah, probably. Well, Elise should be.
Yeah, she's a dual international.
Yes.
Do you find that knock entertaining?
Yes, I did.
I'm just asking the question. Don't be so ornery.
Well, a bit like, you know how you didn't see the Socceroos game? I didn't see a lot of Elise Perry, but I saw the highlights. She's a brilliant performer.
Hey, can I just say this? It was 95% disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
That's swung around to about 75. You're getting some big support.
Is the family called in?
Off the SMS. And that's the great thing about it.
Will you be watching on Wednesday night?
Women's test are 4 days, not 5 days.
Will you be watching the Socceroos on Wednesday night?
I'll be watching, yeah.
I'll be watching. Mike, will you be watching? Or you turned
yes,
off?
Yes, Tim. How could I be informed if I didn't see it, Tim?
Jill's back. Like Jill Interstoop's going to join us after this break with all the sports news, including Mark Schwartz's thoughts on the Socceroos against Honduras earlier this morning. But first, let's go to M with the news headlines.
For Melbourne Airport parking, book your parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And Southwell, winners of the Australian Business Award 2017 for software innovation.
On 1116 SEN, Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
And Mike Sherman, Jill Interstoop is in to update us on all of the sports news going on around the country and internationally. Stick your head up in this business, you're going to get it knocked off, but that's why Mike's been around for 50 years. A typical response from soccer fans, they are so sensitive to minor criticism because their sport is so boring, predictable response. And that's Emma from South Yarra.
Emma, so I love you, Emma.
A little bit of support for you coming through. It has swung, I'd say 67-33.
Really? Well, we might adjust those figures after Julian gives his honest opinion of what
Julian
he saw.
No, it wasn't very entertaining at all, Mike, let's be honest.
Thanks, Jules. That'll do.
He certainly fired them up, Mike.
Yes,
a bit like Andy on Friday when he didn't mention the Croatians.
Oh, did he? Yes.
Did he leave the Croatians out?
Andy,
how could he?
Andy said, great news for our...
Said, not good for our Greek
fans.
Oh,
no, not great news for our Greek population, of which there are thousands in the city. Da-da-da-da-da. Croatia are winning 3-0, whatever it was. And the switchboard SMS machine started smoking.
Hey. We got a lot of Croatian.
And I would definitely have not have said that.
What have we got, Jules?
Not good news for the Greeks either, because they lost that first leg 4-1, and it's 0-0 at half time in the second leg over in Greece. So at this stage, it doesn't look like Greece will be participating in the World Cup. Going a bit further, we had Mark Schwartzer on a little bit earlier talking about the Socceroos. And in particular, he gave his thoughts on the cow paddock that was served up over in Honduras.
It's a tactical ploy. It's, you know, the Hondurans knowing how well Australia play football. They want to play football. They want to have the ball on the ground. And they provide a pitch that more, you know, suits them more than the Socceroos. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, so Mark Schwartzer
tactical,
minting his words there.
Deliberately set the pitch the way they did.
Well, boys, we have an AFL equivalent of that. I mean,
where?
Moorabbin used to be watered. They created the bog at Moorabbin many
times.
They
did, yeah. On a Friday night, they get out there and water it with a couple of cans.
Couple of cans.
cans of water or having a can.
No, a couple of VBs, yeah.
Oh, really?
VBs,
who
yeah.
did that?
People who were in charge of the time.
Who was having
Julian, what else you got?
Now, international rules, obviously, Scott Pendlebury, the big story with his broken finger, but nothing too serious. Pierce Hanley also broke his hand in that game, the Gold Coast midfielder. But, Tim, Nat Fyfe caught your eye?
Yeah. Well,
could he be a forward at Fremantle next
year? Well, I reckon it's worth posing the question. I don't know whether Ross Lyon's thinking about this or not, but given what we saw this year with Richmond and the way that they played and they had the one forward, is it possible to play Nat Fyfe, because he's got great aerial ability as well, as that one forward? You're going to sacrifice having him as the midfielder, but they've got other midfielders there that are coming that aren't to the same degree that he is. But one of their real problems, Fremantle, Gary, has been the fact that they just haven't had a forward line. I mean, since Pavlich is gone, they haven't had anybody really capable of being able to hold down
so
the position there.
So you're conceding that it's the hardest position in the ground to play and most
important. No.
I'm not conceding that. I'm saying that they haven't got anyone that's been capable of being played.
Part of 20 years to find.
Well, Pavlich has been a great player for
Pavlinko.
Them. That's right.
Yeah, but it does fly in the face of the way Ross coaches, though, doesn't it?
In what way?
Well,
he wants a forward.
Yeah, but no, he doesn't. He wants his post to control the ball for an hour in the midfield, and then hopefully someone will kick a goal in the end.
But you're saying that he hasn't got the ability to change.
Well, I haven't seen.
Is that what you're saying? That he can't change Ross Lyon?
Well, fundamentally, he's a defensive coach, and if you're talking about propping Fyfe there, which I like that idea, one out.
He'll never be one out because
they won't get the ball in quick enough.
But he is the most capable player, I think, in that team on their list of actually being able to do something in the front half of the ground.
And what it proves, Gary, is that the broken leg is a more serious injury than the ACL. Every time someone has a broken leg, they take longer to come back.
That's true.
Than the knee victims.
You go back to Michael Voss, when Michael Voss badly broke his hand, Gary Lyon too.
Yeah.
What? How long did you take to come back?
That was the end of you.
Michael Voss. Remember Michael Voss coming back? He looked like he was finished. He did. Then 12 months after that, he was back to the old Michael Voss.
We can't just say no. Nate Fife's going to be a half forward because
no, I'm not saying.
I know you're not. But it'll be a Dustin Martin scenario, and until such time as they start to get more support through the middle of the ground and a greater spread, then the success of this won't be as pronounced because he'll go forward like Dangerfield did in the second final and sit there twiddling his thumbs.
No, but of the three blokes you've talked about, Fife is clearly better than any of them overhead.
Could Fife do what Jack Riewoldt did?
Yes, he could.
No, Fife could do anything.
Yeah.
Fife could do anything.
That's my point. And he could do it better than what Jack Riewoldt could even do.
It's not a question about whether he can do it. It's about whether they can afford to have him do it.
That is another question.
Are we going
to and that really
clubs?
Relates back to whether or not there are other Harley Bennell.
Yeah, of course.
Comes on and plays
and
in the midfield.
If he does,
I mean, there's a lot of what ifs.
And they continue to get some depth through that middle of the ground, then all of a sudden he spends 25%. Out of the middle and forward, you know, or because we've got short memories. I mean, everyone, Danger goes forward in that first final, or second final, sets it up, and we sit here going, what's going to happen next week? What's going to happen? And we all debate, and then we go, oh, you're going to play him. So they played him forward, couldn't get the footy to him.
No, that's right.
That's true. But Gaz, Fife is the most natural forward of the three blokes we're talking about.
I don't agree with you. Did you see Patrick Dainfield play at a goal square against Hawthorn?
I did.
It's pretty natural.
That's because he's just a gun footballer.
Well, hang on. So
he can play fullback.
So you can disagree and excuse all the guns.
No, I didn't say that. I said he's the most natural forward of the three.
I disagree with that.
I agree with Mike.
Is this Richmond structure really going to take off? I mean, they're only the best scoring team
last year.
Richmond. They weren't a great scoring team apart from September. Many teams going to copy that?
I'm not convinced. No, and I mean for them it is magnificent. They've got the cup in the cupboard, but someone will be brave enough to go. Nah, I'm going to go because what happens then? Why I love the Richmond thing is they're dictating to the defenders how to play, which is a great thing. All of a sudden, opposition coaches are going, "Geez, what sort of a back six are we going to pick?" For the first time in years, someone's going to go, "Look, defenses are now starting to position themselves for small and mediums, and the designated tall defender is becoming a dying art. Well, let's throw three tools at them and see how they're going to go against that. Someone will be brave enough to do
it. I can't say too much in case I say too much, but Damien Hardwick's been over there in New York looking for a new angle too.
What, you saw him
I
as
saw
well?
You in your... Now, there's a photo taken by a Tim Watson of Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah, Sarah that Jessica
was,
Parker. Yeah.
That wasn't you, was it?
Yeah, on the streets of New York, Mike.
You saw her.
You're a big fan of
Sarah Jessica Parker. I love Sarah Jessica. How is she in real life?
She looks great, Mike. She looks great.
Do you mean that?
Yeah.
You told me she'd aged a fair bit.
I didn't. What else you got, Julie?
Now, just talking about Yelena Dokic before, and you're having that discussion about, what role Tennis Australia has to play in this. They did release a statement last night saying they were concerned for Yelena's welfare, and some officials actually made some police complaints, but without the cooperation from those directly involved, they couldn't fully investigate. So that's Tennis Australia's take on it yesterday. And also a little bit of news from the world of MotoGP. Mark Marquez has finished third to win the 2017 World Championship. Danny Pedrosa won the race, and Andreas Dovizioso was the only one that could beat Mark Marquez. He crashed out on lap six. And a big shield round starting today. Victoria, Tasmania at the MCG. Now, Warnie's named his first test 11 in the papers today. Warner, Renshaw, Khawaja, Smith, Hanscom, Maxwell at six. Wade, the wicketkeeper, Stark, Cummins, Lyon and Hazelwood. So
that'll
he's
be
going
no
for
change,
Maxwell
really, is it?
Six.
No change to... I know Cartwright might have played in the last test over the subcontinent, but there's no great surprise in that.
Not really.
Warnie 11. And what Warnie's essentially saying is, you're in, you're the incumbent, we're going to give you two tests to secure up your spot.
I'm interested that he says that Wade's still the best keeper. Because well, he'd be the expert on that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, he'd know more than any of us. But I mean, I read a bit of that last night. I haven't read the whole thing this morning. But he's sort of saying, well, he hasn't been making runs. Subcontinent runs are hard to come by. It's very hard to keep over there as well with the ball, you know, spinning and keeping low. So he's saying, he said that they made a mistake when they dropped Peter Neville for Matthew Wade.
Yep.
And they would make a mistake if they dropped Matthew Wade.
But I can't understand that logic. I think... It's now agreed that they made a mistake dropping Neville because he was the better craftsman behind the stumps. But why then would you not go back? Why wouldn't you say, we made a blue there, they're equal in terms of their ability to bat. Let's pick the best keeper.
Wasn't it also about his perceived passiveness as a keeper?
That's what
I've heard that said, yeah.
They wanted a more combative... like, the wicketkeeper's a man who sets the tone out in the field. He's a scrapper and a bit of a street fighter, Matthew Wade, getting in amongst it, all that sort of stuff.
Might be a bit simple about this, but I would have thought the bloke who catches them when they come to him and
helps.
Takes all the chance and just does his job is the bloke you pick.
I'd be going for the most entertaining keeper.
Now, that is it. Very nicely done, Jules. Julian DeStoop, who will be back with us again before 9 o'clock.
Talking about Jules, he's sitting in for Ginger Nuts.
Yeah.
This is a serious question. How is Ginger Nuts the horse?
Yes, Ginger Nuts okay. So it had a fractured near fore, Mike.
We did it. We're gone.
And the news was good yesterday. So
if I've just tuned in at 7:51, I want to know.
New audience, Mike. You're quite right.
Yeah, 100%
good point.
Right.
No, good news yesterday. Further scans today. Good chance he will race again.
So he's got a fracture in his
fractured near fore.
Wow,
he's near fore.
Thank you, Julian.
Very nicely done. Going to throw the lines open. We're going to play some commentary before 9 o'clock. Some of the most extraordinary... For those out there, if you reckon Brian Taylor can go over the top, this bloke makes Brian Taylor look like the most passive and conservative commentator you've ever seen. We're going to play it. There'll be some...
Has he still got a job?
Some selected beeps.
Has he still got a job?
I don't know. We'll find
out. He didn't
care. And then we've got lines open, so you can join in again. Nathan Fyfe-Ford, what did you think of the international rules? Because... Can't wait for KB to come on because he'll embrace it. But 9:49, 11:16, your calls.
For Melbourne Airport parking, flying, book your Melbourne Airport parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And self-wealth. Trade the ASX no matter what size the trade for just $9.50 per trade.
On 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Yeah, enough's enough. I just really want to play finals next year and hopefully go deep. The supporters and everyone are going to see just how good our list is because I really have strong belief that you know, we can make finals next year if we all work hard and play to our strengths.
That's Jackie Billings on St Kilda's chances in 2018. They're back at training. They've been on a training cam up in Yay, I think.
Yeah.
Riding bikes and dodging snakes.
Doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, doing all sorts of stuff.
You fixed him up early in the season too, didn't you? You gave him a bit of a whack early in the year and he had a great season,
Jackie Billings. He emerged and played to his drafting.
What are they doing back in full training?
We're not full training.
Before the mid-November, and it was a very good piece by Tony Armstrong in the paper at the weekend.
I read that.
About how you've now do a pre-season to prepare for your pre-season.
Yep.
8 weeks off they get, don't they? That's compulsory 8 weeks off.
But he's saying that in that 8 week period, you can't let down for too long before you've got to get back into it.
Isn't it
about the fact that we're paying them so much money that a lot of people in football want to see them back at work?
I hope not.
Why would they be back training now?
I just asked that question, Tim.
It's ridiculous.
How long do both of you, Tim Watson and Gary Lyon, how long do you think it would take on a concentrated training program to be ready to play AFL football?
Probably
12 weeks.
12 weeks.
Yep. Yeah, 3 months.
Jeez, well, you can't climb Everest on a
loop. Can't just go and run around the town twice and say, "Yeah, I'm ready to go."
Oh, there's something called middle ground, Gary, which you never occupy.
Hey, Gary, the Irish coach after yesterday's loss to Australia in the international rules, I think he's under the pump a little
bit.
He's
not under the pump.
Did he go in with tactically? How did you view what he was trying to do yesterday against the Australian?
The Australian team changed their tactics about halfway through the second quarter, and that changed the whole game.
What did they do?
Well, they started kicking the ball longer into that area, about 15 metres outside the goals, where the goals are, and all of a sudden it put the Irish under pressure because Big Ben Brown started to have an impact. They are the best kicks of the footy.
The round ball.
All they should do is go slow, chip it round, hit up a kick the ball to one of theirs, mark it from anywhere from 30 to 35 and go back and kick their over.
If you coach them, do
that all day.
Play tempo international rules.
Tempo international, exactly right. In fact, exactly right, because we can hit targets. We were trying to zone defence early. Rossi Lyon had the boys zoning. They can hit targets from 40 metres away.
If you'd coached Ireland, would they have won yesterday?
Oh, that's a stupid thing to say, Michael.
What do you think?
Stop nodding your head.
Why I'm not nodding my head?
Why are you nodding
That's a stupid
so
thing to say. I don't know why you brought that up.
Hey, this came off the SMS too. Could Jack Zeeble, Mike, could he play the way that I was advocating that Nat Fyfe played?
He's not as good as Nat Fife.
He's not as athletic.
No.
He's not as big either.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you on the Fife forward. I really like that idea.
Hey, if you're a Collingwood supporter, are you worried and concerned that Scotty Pendlebury has broken his finger, albeit on the other side?
Not at all.
You're a Collingwood supporter, eh? 9:14. Give us your thoughts on that.
That's what I was answering.
Big interview coming up after 8 o'clock too, Gary.
Indeed. Yelena Dokic is going to join us after 8 to talk about her remarkable autobiography, which has come out, and an extract was played on the weekend, and it's got the whole world talking. We'll speak to her after 8.
Melbourne's home of footy is always crystal clear on the SEN app, so download it now. Connect to your car via Bluetooth, then press play.
For Melbourne Airport parking, book your Melbourne Airport parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And self-wealth. Trade the ASX no matter what size the trade for just $9.50 per trade.
On 11:16 SEN, breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
My team with us as well through until 8 o'clock. Gentlemen, Yelena Dokic was an outstanding tennis player. She got to world number 4. Amidst all sorts of challenges, and the most serious, of course, have come to light over the weekend with excerpts being released into the newspapers from her autobiography. It's titled Unbreakable. It was a stunning and disturbing read. No other way to say it. Yelena's been good enough to join us on the line. Welcome, Yelena.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. This is, have you been, well, you wouldn't have been surprised, but were you ready for the reaction to the stories that were released in the press on the weekend about your relationship with your father?
Well, I was surprised, to be honest. And, it was. It got a lot of coverage, and I knew a little bit that the book would get some attention, and things that I really never spoke about, but some people assumed certain things were going on. So, it was good to kind of get this out, because it was good to set the record straight and shed some light on things that were happening, which I think is also, going into the future very important, and the subjects that I've spoken about and the things that I speak about in the book I think are very important. And, the coverage has been incredible, but more so I think the support has been absolutely unbelievable. So I really didn't imagine that it would be as big as it is.
Yelena, you've laid yourself bare, there's no doubt about that, and you've exposed your father as an ogre. I mean, when you saw it in print and when you've seen the reaction to it, do you think have you got second thoughts about doing it?
No, I haven't. I knew what I was getting into, and everything that's in the book, I could have, even there, maybe not put it all in there, but I've really put it all in the book, and that's the way that I wanted it. I wanted to do it. I think if you're going to do something like this, I think you better go out there and really put everything in there and make sure that everything, is the way that it happened. And I worked very hard on this also, with my publisher, and the whole editing process was very difficult. And I think in the last 2 months alone, I read it about 15 times, because you got to go over and over and over everything to make sure everything is correct and everything is the way that it happened. So, I would do it again, and I have no second thoughts about it. And I think if this kind of, things that I had to go through, not just with my father, but with other things that I discussed in the book, from racism to, discrimination and bullying. And also for me, some very tough times, I battled very heavy depression and almost committed suicide. So I think these are all very important subjects that we need to talk about. And I would absolutely do it all again, because I think we need to raise awareness on a whole lot of these things.
A two-part question here. We're all fathers in this room at the moment talking about it, and we can't just stand the idea of sort of having one of our children think of us and tell the world how wicked we've been. Is it totally your father's fault, or is there any blame that we can lay at the feet of the administrators at the time?
Well, look, I think, again, if you're going to go out there and do something like this, for me, if it was, I think like a lot of other people, if it was happening less than it was, well, then, you might not come out with it, or you might try to sort the situation out behind closed doors. But I think mine was so extreme. It was so out there that I think we need to speak about this. And I think no one has ever, I think, come out and made, you know, this story or talked about this story the way that I have. It's very, you know, raw and it's very heavy, but I think we need to do this. And look, I think, did some people know? I think so. I know definitely of a few people that kind of knew and even saw it happen. But, you know, I don't think it's the time to blame anyone. And
are you angry with them? Are you angry that they did nothing about it?
No, I'm not angry with anyone. I'm not even angry with my father. Or let's say like this, I don't hate him. I'm angry at what he's done with, it's a much bigger picture, with breaking up a family. That's what I'm angry with him about, because I took a lot of things from him and I handled it well behind closed doors, but it just kept on going. And in the end, everything fell apart. But as far as, let me just get back to the question about, you know, could anyone have done anything? I think the big thing is what I struggled with was once I left home and people knew I left home and left an abusive situation, I really didn't have any support there. I really had no one, you know, even come and say, well, you know, how are you doing? Or, you know, do you need anything? And I think that's the bigger issue, the bigger question, because it's just as hard once you manage or you get the courage to leave a situation like that. Because I was so scared of him for almost 10 years after I left, to be completely honest with you. So I think that was the very difficult part for me. And also, the one thing that I was a little bit confused about was when he was doing everything that he was doing and his rants at the US Open and Wimbledon and so on, people kind of thought it was funny. And people were writing about it, and the media was writing about it, like, you know, like it's funny. And it was
funny in what way,
really,
Elena?
If you really looked deep down, or even if you just took a second to have a look, you would see that something was wrong. And people could see how aggressive he was. And I think that's the bigger issue.
Elena, did you ever reach out to anyone to try and intervene in what was going on, or were you too frightened to do that?
Well, certainly when I was with him and when I was at home, I didn't, but obviously I was so young. So when I came to Australia, you know, I was 11 and I left home when I was 19. So, and like I described in the book, I think that's why it's very important for people also to read the book, because there's these big headlines, you know, that he abused me, but I think you need to read the whole thing, because I was made to do so many things and lie on his behalf, which was just, you know, disgraceful. So I think there were so many signs there. And, yeah, I didn't, at the time, I was very young, and I, of course, didn't, you know, say anything to anyone. And but, yeah, again, like I said, you know, even I don't blame anyone for maybe not doing anything while I was with my father, because even I today, with such experience, if I saw something like that happen, I would have to, you know, really think out, okay, how do I approach this? Mm. Who do I go to? What do I do? So it's very difficult to intervene in a family situation and such a sensitive subject. But again, it's after we need the support after we leave. I think that's very, very important.
Elena, are you scared about his reaction, your father's reaction now when he reads this book?
Well, look, I don't, you know, talk to him. I haven't had much of a relationship with him, and everything that I've written is the truth. So yep. I think whatever, you know, he does, whatever reaction he has, and then whatever he says, you know, it is what it is. It's on him. And you know, now at this stage in my life, and it's been, you know, 10 years or 15 years later, you know, I'm in a different headspace and a different chapter of my life. I really don't think I need to worry about, you know, what he says and what he thinks, because, you know, in a way, he never really worried about, you know, what I think and especially how I feel and what he was doing. So I really, you know, anyway, shouldn't really, you know, be concerned about, you know, what he really thinks. And even, you know, might sound a bit harsh, but even his feelings. So, you know, this is a lot deeper than that, and everything that kind of he has done. It's just so out there. It's just, yeah, I really think that at this stage we should be more concerned about my feelings.
Yolanda, it might be drawing a long bow here, but do you see any parallels between your situation when you were young and the Tomic situation, Bernard and John?
Again, look, it's very difficult for me to comment on anybody else's situation because, again, you never really know what's going on. I think you can assume or you might think that you know, but I don't think you do. You never know what's going on behind closed doors, whether that's Bernard or somebody else. So I think everybody's situation is different. It's unique. And again, I don't know the exact things that go on there. So I don't think I can really comment on that. And all I can, you know, talk about is really, you know, my experience, raise awareness. And, you know, as bad as everything's been, again, let's not point fingers, let's not blame people, let's, you know, move forward, look into the future, and let's make sure that if something like this, if there's a situation like this, that we can prevent things from happening, that we can go out there and help people and support each other.
We're talking to Yelena Dokic. Yelena, how would you summarise your tennis career then? Did you enjoy any part of it?
Well, look, I absolutely love tennis. So even when I had my darkest periods, at times, obviously, it was very difficult to go on the court and enjoy tennis. But I absolutely love it. I've loved it from the first time I hit, you know, the first ball, even though I was getting, you know, hit and went through so many difficult situations. And even after, like I said, heavy depression and almost committed suicide, I still enjoyed tennis and tried to get out there on the court. And I still enjoy it so much today. I think I always will. So, but look, I think I reached number four in the world, which is obviously not a bad result, but I think I certainly would have had a better career, a longer career, if all this, you know, didn't happen. Again, whether I would have won a Grand Slam or been number one, you never know, maybe. But I certainly would have been a very, very consistent and regular top five or top ten player for many years, and I'm sure of that. So it definitely disrupted my career, and I don't think I fulfilled my potential. But when you have something like this going on, for me, it was not about tennis. It was about whether I'll ever be able to live a normal life again. And you know, like I said, so close to committing suicide. So wow. When you've got something like that, tennis really doesn't matter. All results really don't matter. Yeah.
Elena, we wish you nothing but the best. From this day forward, obviously, new phase in your life, whether it be tennis coaching or commentary or whatever the case may be, very brave, courageous decision to be as honest and forthright. We wish you well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yelena Dokic there joining us. Unbreakable is the book. First extracts were published in the papers on the weekend. Yeah, obviously you focus on that side of it because that's the most extraordinary part of it all. We all knew that she was a really talented tennis player. To get to number four in the world is unbelievable, but to do it with that as a backdrop.
Yeah.
You know, when she was talking there about the fact that how serious the problem was with her and her dad and his behaviour and the media and the way the story was portrayed was this sort of light-hearted sort of...
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of, for the first time, you actually stop and think about what was going on in her life. I mean, it did look ridiculous, like the father, and I think was it the fish or something at Wimbledon
or some sort of salmon? Well,
when he threw the food.
Well, it's that story. I mean, it was sort of made sort of world headlines at the time, and everyone was sort of taking a laugh about her father. But then
but her father
for
became,
her, she's living through this hell with her old man.
His name became part of the vernacular for any parent
that's right.
Jokingly or otherwise seemed to be a little overbearing. It was good on you, Demir Watson or Demir
Sheehan. Well, what I liked about her then was she hasn't backed away. I mean, I think sometimes we can say things and you see them in print, you say, geez, that's pretty heavy stuff. But she's worn it and she's prepared. And I think her motives are right. I think she's saying it's for the greater good of the next group of young players coming through on the tennis circuit. So more power to her.
Yeah, and I know the audio, there's a couple of people whilst they congratulating Yelena for her amazing courage. What a beautiful, strong young woman Yelena is. Kudos to her. That's Tim from Donvale. You can hear the pain in her voice. Very sad from Shanksy. It was a little hard to hear at times. I'm not sure the line was fantastic, but you can go onto sen.com.au if you've missed that. We'll put that whole interview up and you can listen to a very brave young lady who's been through a hell of a lot. So
Sorry, Gary. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, in the book again too is Unbreakable, Yelena Dokic and Jessica Halloran. It's going to be released today by Penguin Random House. I think anybody that's sort of been interested in the story after the weekend's revelations will do themselves a favour and go out there and buy a copy of that. And as she said, like, you need to read the book to sort of put into perspective some of what she's been talking about.
Now, I'm risking reopening an old wound here, boys, but we've got a text message from Jimmy Hurd, James Hurd, the former Essendon coach, during our debate about the Socceroos and what it meant. And it's very interesting. And Hurdy has agreed to talk to us at about 20 to 9 to explain his view. And he puts the other side. He doesn't take my view. He's saying it's all about the romance and the theatre of sport.
He loves the sport.
So it will be interesting to hear from Hurdy.
That'll be good. Well, James Hurd to join us after 8:30. And I think one of his sons is also a very talented young footballer who's been over in Europe doing some junior sort of academy stuff as well. So we'll talk to James Hurd on his thoughts about the Socceroos as well. What are you looking at me like that for?
Just admiringly, as always.
Good on you, as I admire you. Mike Sheen's top five players. Going to turn our attention to a little bit of off-season footy, just for 10 minutes or so. He's got five players under the pump who need to make sure that their summer is of the highest quality before the AFL season resumes. See if you disagree or agree. 9:14, 9:11, 16 at any time.
For Melbourne Airport parking, it's cheaper than you think. MelbourneAirport.com.au and Self-Wealth. Trade the ASX, no matter what size the trade, for just $9.50 per trade.
On 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
And a lot of people texting and wanting to know where they can listen to Yelena Dokic's interview. SEN.com.au is the place to go. You can listen to the whole thing there. And we do need to say this sincerely. For those that are struggling with whatever, there's a number of great services out there. Lifeline, 13 11 14 is the number to call. Beyond Blue, 1300 224 636. And if you know of anyone who may be battling, then encourage them to pick up the phone and make that call. Michael, you set the whole of the, well, our audience, so anyway, into a tiz when you came in and said that your viewing of Saturday morning's World Cup qualifier leg one was rubbish.
I did say that, Gary, and lots of interested listeners to that, one of whom is the former Essendon coach, James Hurd. Hurdy messaged me and said in part of text, "The romance of sport, epitomised by an Australian group who travelled to the other side of the world to play in a preliminary final type scenario. Only the winner progresses. Playing on a substandard pitch only enhances the romance of the story." I was really interested in that, given Hurdy's status in Australian football and his love for soccer. Hurdy's been good enough to join us. Welcome, James.
Thanks, Mike. How are you?
I'm well, mate. What did you make of Saturday morning?
I loved it, Mike. I thought the game was a little bit frustrating at times. It tended to, the ball seemed to stop when it shouldn't have. But the fact that, as I said, the Australian team went over, they played on a pitch that was doctored by the opposition. I mean, that just doesn't happen in sport very often anymore. And I think it enhances the romance of the game and so many sub-stories. Even the fact that players had to use hand signals to communicate because the noise was so loud. I think that the tension and the end result will come at the end of Wednesday night, made it a fascinating event to watch.
So you didn't share my view that there was an obligation to provide some sort of entertainment?
I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was frustrating
we're going to cut you off here, mate.
But I found the tension and sitting on the edge of your seat for people, and I'm not a soccer expert, I don't know much about the game at all, but to think of the ramifications of the result was great to watch.
Hurdy, good to talk to you, mate.
Hey, Gary.
You've got young family, you've got young boys who are heavily involved in the game as well. Are they still pursuing the soccer lifestyle?
Yeah, they love their soccer. They play footy as well, but they love their soccer. And yeah, it was a good thing to do to see them and the boys and watch it.
So from that point of view, you say you're not an expert, but I know you've got a love for the game and you've been following it for a long period of time. Do you need to be and have a greater appreciation than what Mike has and maybe myself and even Tim to sort of sit back and go, hang on, entertainment, as has been pointed out to us, is in the eye of the beholder. There's so much at stake here. The result we got was a good one for Australian soccer and sets up a fascinating Wednesday night.
Yeah, definitely the watching anything is in the eye of the beholder. But I personally think that if you're interested in Australian sport and getting to a World Cup, then that's a fascinating event to watch. And
And you look at the tension on the players. I mean, we've played in preliminary finals and you feel the tension. And if you lose a preliminary final, that seems like a devastating effect or result because you don't get to play in the grand final. But next year you get another go. So these guys are going to wait 4 years again, and probably some of them won't ever get a chance. So you can understand why they made mistakes on the other side of the world, the tension, and you could feel it coming out of the way both teams were playing. And then you've got, you know, the Ange Postecoglou story. You've got great stories coming out of that game, which, you know, will only be answered on Wednesday night.
Hey, Herdy, good morning to you. It's Tim here.
Hey, Tim.
But if you had a choice with the boys, you got three boys, would you encourage them to go down the AFL path or the soccer path?
Well, it's not my choice, it's their choice. And even if it wasn't their choice, it's their mother's choice, as we all know. But whatever they like. I mean, I think that AFL is an amazing sport and a great game, and I think so is soccer. But it just depends what they like. And they're very different cultures when you go and watch them and support your boys, very different types of atmospheres, but both much better than sitting in front of the computer or, you know, roaming the streets of Melbourne.
What do you think about, having experienced it with the boys, what do you think about the coaching of AFL at that level, junior level, as opposed to the coaching of young boys at soccer?
Yeah, I still think that soccer's more advanced in their coaching of junior athletes than we are. I think the pathway for football is more defined and is probably better than it is in soccer in Australia. But I really wish I'd before I coached AFL, spent a lot more time with soccer coaches because the way they teach players from a very young age to press, to make the ground bigger, with their skills, it's something that I think AFL can learn from in a big way and is really quite impressive, actually.
Jimmy, you're lucky enough to be down on the Mornington Peninsula this morning. What are you actually doing?
On Mondays and Tuesdays, we do a chocolate run. So we go and deliver our chocolate around Melbourne and Victoria. And I'm down, we've got eight Richie's IGAs down in the Mornington Peninsula that are getting deliveries of cacao hunters as we speak. So I'm in the car delivering chocolate.
I'll be in there the next time I'm down at Sorrento, mate, buying a block.
Do you want me to water the garden for you? I know you've got half a Sorrento.
Just check the veggie patch, will you, on your way home?
I heard it's warm out there this morning. Don't leave the chocolate in the car without a window down.
You're always full of great tips and hints, so thank you for that.
Thanks for joining us, James.
No worries, guys.
On your Herdy.
On your Herdy. James Herd there, who's got a great team.
Interesting perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm not ever condescending to you, ever. Have I ever been? I think...
Might be coming.
Have you got a more... have you had some clarity now after listening to that?
No, I understand the rationale of the soccer lover and the Socceroo supporters. I understand that. Mm-hmm. Because there's a greater goal, which is Wednesday night. But I was dealing in isolation with what I saw Saturday.
With entertainment. All right. We're going to get your players under the pump.
Okay.
But we might go to a break first. Jules will come in. Jules Interstoop with Meet the Press. So some questions for both you and Tim as well. And then your five players. AFL, we're talking, aren't we?
Yes.
AFL players. Hey,
what else would we be talking?
Socceroos. We're in the middle of November. We do horse racing. Tosin Stardom's run on the weekend.
How was that?
The run of the summer, of the spring for mine. Despite the fact that Damien Lane kept running into dead ends and then eventually found some space.
I'd ask Mike a question or two about Barmy was on this radio station late last week talking about the Chris Mayne situation and the ramifications and the background to that story about how he arrived at Collingwood. And I want to ask you a couple of questions about that when we come back too.
Look forward to it, Tim.
Did you get a box of Jimmy Herd's chocolates for mentioning the name of it? KO
I think I'd love to know what Herdy's doing now, and he just told us.
He's delivering chocolate.
Yeah.
Deliver some to my joint. Julian Astute, Meet the Press, and Mike's top five under the pump. I know that, with the news headlines first.
Okay, that wasn't me yelling in your ear, please.
I like yelling at me for
God's sake. But the audience is going to think that I'm yelling at you.
No, you wouldn't.
No, never. Just make faces. Okay.
For Melbourne Airport parking. Flying? Book your Melbourne Airport parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And self-wealth. Trade the ASX no matter what size the trade for just $9.50 per trade.
On 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
And Julian De Stoop comes in to give us the latest news in sport and also meet the press shortly. A lot of people loving the fact that they've heard James Hurd back, probably first time they've heard him for a while, sounds like he's in a good space, so a lot of people enjoying that. And the odd one loses a negative, but yeah, that's life. You never get 100%, do you, Tim?
Never, ever, Gary, and you should never even hope to do that.
Well, I certainly don't, so relax on that. Julian De Stoop rejoins us. Jules, welcome.
Morning again, boys. Bad news, unfortunately, for the Greek football fans out there. Good news for the Croats.
Lucky you.
0-0 in the second leg, so Greece won't be going to the World Cup. Croatia going through. Big morning tomorrow for Italy when they play Sweden in Milan. They're 1-0 down.
What time is Italy and Sweden on?
That will be on about 7:30 our time tomorrow.
In the morning. So we'll be on air while that time. Tim, we'll be able to watch the Italians to see whether they've discovered some resilience in the past 6 days.
Well, I just hope your bloke who broke his nose badly, so badly.
Well, you think he won't play?
Well, apparently they've had to piece it together. He's been to a microsurgeon to try and piece his nose together.
The guy who went down with a whack to the nose.
I heard you talk about that before. Yeah. Actually, if I were the Italian coach, I would have... I'd be ringing Flight Centre this afternoon and see if he's got any one-way tickets.
He's not going to be a popular man, is he?
No.
No, big shield round today, boys. All the states playing. Big game at the MCG. Victoria, Tasmania. Interesting, in the Tasmanian side, you've got Matthew Wade and Tim Payne. So Tim Payne was playing for the Cricket Australia 11, and he's been flown back to Melbourne to play as a batsman, obviously, for Tasmania, alongside Matthew Wade, who'll have the keeping gloves on.
Do you make anything of that?
I don't think they're thinking about him for number six.
I read that this morning. I thought, is that good news for Matthew Wade? Does that mean that the Tasmanians suspect that Wade's going to be selected as the keeper for Australia, therefore Payne had to get back?
That makes sense, doesn't it?
I don't know. It was a strange one. But anyway, it is a big week, a big 3 or 4 days of Sheffield Shield cricket.
And Scotty Pendlebury, as we'll update you on that one. Not sure what Mike's doing there. So the broken finger will get the results today. Not expecting it to be too bad, so much so he's actually staying on with the Australian team. So if it was anything serious, you would assume he'd be coming straight back to Melbourne. The Bombers also back training today. The young players off on a training camp tomorrow. So they have one session at the Bombers today, and then they're up north, Darwin and the Tiwi Islands, some clinics and also a training camp up north.
Hey, Stupa, can I ask you one question about Ange Postecoglou? Are you expecting Ange Postecoglou, win, lose or draw, on Wednesday night to make a statement post-game about what he's going to do?
Knowing the way Ange has operated with this, I don't think we'll get the statement straight after the game. No.
There'll be people pressing for
it. Absolutely.
Yep. But you don't think that
I don't think he'll do it straight afterwards, no. No, but he's obviously going to have to come out pretty soon and tell us what he's doing. And there was even talk last week. Rangers were interested. Now, of course, this time it's time for this.
Michael, you're going to take over. Meet the press style. You've been sort of sitting with your top five under the pumpers. AFL players who need to have a very big summer.
So that they can have a very big year.
Top five.
And they're headed by... I think it's fair to say... The group of key forwards, but one standout, Tex Walker, under the basis to whom much is given, much is expected. And I think he has been gifted the qualities that should make him almost the best player in the competition, and he's a fair way from that. So I've got Walker at the top of that group, and includes Hawkins, Jack Darling and Josh Jenkins.
So that's a collective group, but in particular Texan.
Yeah. The second one is Jake Stringer, and for obvious reasons, but this bloke with his talent... Now, I don't know I haven't laid eyes on Jake Stringer for 4 months, but I just keep hearing things that sort of don't sound like he's tuned in.
He's back. He got back
early. He's back training early.
No, okay, righto. But I'm telling you. I'm just telling you what I know.
So what are you hearing?
He needs to be... The problems that cause most clubs to stay away from him hopefully are gone, but I'm not totally...
So you're saying that he's not focused on his footy?
Well... That's your interpretation. I'll settle for that. Yeah. So Jake Stringer is number two.
Craig from Brony, by the way, Jules did mention the MotoGP in his last news update. So that's been sorted out.
Mark Marquez won the title.
So we've got a group of forwards headed by Tex Walker.
Yes, you got Jake Stringer.
The third one is Brett Dilidio.
Ooh.
Now, I know he had some issues this year because he was a long time getting into the GWS team. But Dilidio needs to offer GWS a lot more in terms of presence and leadership than we've seen so far.
Gee, you've been a bit hard on him.
Okay, well, I may be, but I was charted with the...
I know, but that's tough, Mike, because, I mean, he missed almost a full season of football before he went up there.
Yep.
He's missed this last season.
Yep.
He's on the wrong side of 30.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to get much out of him.
Well, they took him on. This is the punt that they took.
They took him on as a punt for last season, really. The cream for last season. Yep. And it hasn't been a success.
And he was there on grand final day in his sixth game of the year, which is not a lot. He gave a big start. But there was nothing that I saw from him. Even if you're not in form and you're not playing at your best, you can offer some presence and some leadership. None of that, right?
Right.
Gee. Number four is Tony Liberatore, and I'm...
Tony.
Yeah, Tony. Sorry.
Tony's just driven off the road. What have I done?
Young Liber. And I was tempted to put Jack Zeeble in the mix with him, but I'm happy if Zeeble doesn't go there quite yet. But Liberatore was fourth in their best
Zeeble
and fairest.
Are different poles apart. Yeah.
Talking their roles as midfield dynamos.
Yeah. He was well below what he was the previous year.
He was fourth in the best and fairest in a premiership year. He missed the top 10 this year at the Bulldogs. And I think his, again, is an attitude thing that you've got to put a question mark against.
No,
he needs to pull his finger out.
What are you hearing on the street about him?
I think it's well known that his attitude was a concern for them after the premiership.
I'm just asking. You're hearing a lot of stuff on the street.
That's because I spend a lot of time on the street. That's four. Now, the fifth one...
I'll be interested in this.
The fifth one is a coach.
Oh, he's got a coach out of the pub.
And his name is Ross Lyon.
Ooh.
Now, Ross Lyon...
Gee, good job with the internet.
There's an aura about Ross Lyon. Well, that aura is sort of starting to look a little bit tainted. He's won 12 of his past 44 games, which is 27%. I know he's got a contract until 2045, but he wouldn't want to have another bad year this year, I wouldn't have thought.
Rightio, 9:42, 9:11, 16. As Jules gets his questions ready, do you agree or disagree with Mike's top five under the pumpers? So we can SMS him. A couple coming through already. I don't think James Frawley. I wouldn't put him into that category.
James Frawley? Mm. No.
I'm just saying. I come off the SMS.
Yeah, no.
No James Frawley. Josh Bruce. Dyson Heppel.
Oh, Dyson Heppel.
I'm just reading them.
Not incredulous, but I'm surprised at that. Tim, you're the Essendon member.
Third in the best and fairest.
Yeah, I didn't think he had too bad a season.
No.
But sent through...
Joshie Bruce is an interesting one, though,
isn't
he?
Yes, he is. But it's... Hawkins is an interesting one to me. Tommy Hawkins should have more impact than he does in a team that's consistently good, finishes top four almost every year, and he's the principal target.
The way that teams set up forward lines and the way they go forward means that stay-at-home big key forward is almost redundant. And we saw that as the year rolled on. Tommy became up the ground. He moved up the ground, started to have an impact up the ground as well. And it was, in fact, Dangerfield that went forward late in the season that had the impact. So,
who do you think had a better season last year? Jack Revolt or... Hawkins.
Jack.
Yeah, I'm with Jack. Yeah.
But different expectations, isn't it?
But the expectation on my point is that the expectation on Jack Revolt now has changed.
Yeah, 100%. And maybe you can...
We need to do that have that same change in expectation of Hawkins.
Freedom. It gives you freedom as well. You don't have to come and measure yourself by goals and marks and those sorts of things.
Should Zeeble have been in that group with Libba? I'll wrestle with that. Zeeble...
No, well, the reason I don't put Zeeble in that group is Liberatore had issues in terms of preparation and the way he presented himself. There's never been a question about that.
Maybe Zeeble's not as good as we expected him to be.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I think... Yeah, maybe
He was equal sixth in the best and fairest of... almost the worst performed team in the competition. He's got to be better than that. His attitude's perfect. I've got no query on that. He's not polished enough for mine.
But you know, there's a little bit of that. But he's an inside mid. So the other great mids that we have in the competition have got a lot more balance in their play because they can go inside and they can go outside. I mean, they've got the speed. He doesn't have the leg speed to be that damaging player on the outside. So all his best work is done really on the inside. And some of it goes unnoticed as well because it's a lot of strength and a lot of bullocking type work.
You'll think this is weird, but I was really just one. There was a game he played this year and he kicked into the man on the mark four times in a game, I reckon.
Tommy Hawkins?
No, Jack Zeeble.
Jack Zeeble. Oh, sorry.
And I mean, just he doesn't seem as keen as he is to be to fill the role that he's got. I just wonder if he's as good as we thought he was going to be.
Had a lot of injuries this year, Jack Zeeble. Played through a lot of injuries.
Did he?
Collarbone,
played
ribs.
He played 19 games.
A lot of them he was injured, though. In the end, they
he's carrying them. Now, what about the Saints? We heard from Jack Billings before. I heard Alan Richardson on the weekend saying he can understand the impatience of St Kilda fans. So does St Kilda have to make the eight in 2018?
When you do beat the press, you have to say Tim or Gary.
I'm trying to open everyone.
Do they have to make the eight? It'd help. He's got a contract extension.
He got an extension. Yeah.
So from that point of view, not so much. They have to just play properly. For mine, whether that ends up a final eight side or not. By that I mean we've got to see signs that they've got a forward structure that's going to hold up in the years to come, you know, post-revolt, whether or not these picks are going to use 7 and 8 in the draft, whether that's going to bear fruit this year or beyond.
I agree. I think it's number of wins. I think they would have to win 12 games. Now, whether that gets them in or not remains to be seen. But Jack Stephen, to me, is almost the key. I've often said, Tim, and with due respect to your nephew, Seb Ross, they don't have an elite player in that group, in my view. Stephen should be that, could be that. Now, if he gets back to the form he showed
before...
Yeah,
but he's been the dominant as midfielder for them without them making finals. So I don't think he's the key. I would say that Seb Ross goes ahead of him as an important
player. Do you really?
Player. Yeah.
I love the way when Stephen runs.
No, I love him as well. Yeah. But you're going to need five of those. Very good to elite players.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing the best of what Jack can produce.
Okay. Now, Jules, Tim...
Mike.
I'll finish now. You go.
Now, it seems like this place become the media darling in trade talk, but Stuart Cramery, does he deserve another chance, and which club do you think should take a risk on him?
I think he does, and I've spoken about this before. I think that he would be as good as any forward that, say, Fremantle had, and we're going to base this on the last time we saw him play, which is a couple of years ago now. I think Collingwood, he would fit into their forward line structure as well. Carlton, I think that he would be a complement to what they've got too. It's difficult because I don't know of the examination that's been done by medical people about his, his health and fitness, all that sort of stuff. But I still think on what I last saw him do, and that's a couple of seasons ago now, I still think that he's worth a lifeline to somebody.
Keep your suggestions coming through. Do you agree or disagree with Mike's top five under the pump football people? As we head towards season 2018, we'll also speak about Neil Barm and his comments on Chris Mayne after our final break.
For Melbourne Airport parking, book your parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And SelfWealth, winners of the Australian Business Award 2017 for software innovation.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
I think I know a lot more about that than I'm probably prepared to talk about, but I wouldn't blame Bucks for him totally. And I also think this is really very harsh and unfair on Chris Mayne. He hasn't done anything wrong. All he's done is put his hand up and said, I'd love to come and play for your club. Did he play well enough? No, he didn't. Did they give him enough opportunities? Who knows? But it looks like the deal was a very, very good deal in Mayne's to his advantage.
Yeah, it was Barmy on Friday talking to KB about the whole Chris Mayne deal.
Fascinating, isn't it? Mike, what do you think he was saying without saying it?
I think he was trying to exonerate Bucks. That was my view about that. And it's a deal that, Look, he's right. Chris Mayne has been well paid out of it, but I reckon if Chris Mayne had his time over again, I'm not sure he'd do it. He's been subjected to a lot of humiliation, hasn't he?
Of course, yeah. They gave up on him very quickly and early, didn't they?
Particularly when
we know how he played. He's always been that sort
That's
of
why they got him.
Bull pressure type
but
forward.
But the one thing I will say, I don't know the ins and outs of this, obviously, but I'm not sure when Barmy was implying that no blame to Bucks, I cannot believe a bloke with exposed form, which Mayne had, could come into a footy club without the coach's tick.
No, I think he was saying that he gave him the coach's tick, but it wasn't him that gave him the longer deal that we all know about.
Chris Mayne's father says that Bucks was in on it.
Of course he had to be in on it.
I just need to mention this too. The Thirsty Camel 2017 World Famous Christmas Party is back for 2017. The World Famous Party. We are giving you the chance to join us on Thursday, November the 30th at the Sporting Globe Richmond from 5 until 8 p.m. Congratulations to Glenn, Florence, Jeff Bloom and Jared Montague, who've each won 2 tickets. And you can go to our win page at sen.com for your AU, that is sen.com.au, for your chance to join them.
Phil's our last caller, then a little bit of housekeeping to wrap up the morning. Phil from Hoppers Crossing. G'day, Phil.
G'day, boys. Just about the soccer, I mean, most of us have come up on AFL, so we know everything about that. But we know, even though I watched hundreds of games, I don't know a lot about it. And I think the commentators have got to get better. Like Aaron Moyes, what a gun he is. He'd had about 6 or 7 fantastic passes in that game. Not one of them was acknowledged. They're talking over each other or they're talking about something from 3 minutes before. I think they've got to educate us, you know, and why was that a good pass? What eventuated from it? Where does the goalkeeper go? All these things. I think if the commentators stuck to the ball-by-ball description and gave us a bit of a thing, we'd have a lot more appreciation of the game.
Hey, Phil, good on you. Thanks for your call. You're going in the running, as all our callers did today, for $1,000. Thanks to the Australian Diamond Company. We'll read that out on Friday.
Can I make a comment on Phil?
Yeah.
I disagree totally with that.
Yeah, well, I do too, but...
I think what the soccer blokes do is they don't tell you what you're seeing. The football commentary, AFL, they're telling me what I can see. Mm. I like the soccer view of telling you things around the action rather than just what you've seen.
World Cup qualifying, probably not the time when you're going to start to try and educate a new audience, to be perfectly honest. Okay. Hey, Jules, well done. Thanks for your input this morning, and you're with us again all week.
Stoop has been great.
Had a lot of love off the SMS. For you, Michael, your last show of the year. We're going to miss you next week. Good luck, whatever you've got on your plate in the coming.
Yeah, well, I have an operation on Saturday, I guess.
Oh, so you're prepared to say
that. Yeah.
Now you're going to talk about it.
I was trying to be cute.
It's a big operation, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big operation, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not being cute about that.
On your main...
It's on my heart.
Organ,
yep.
Yeah,
well, that's not your main organ,
scary. No, it is. I wish you had said that we were allowed to talk to it earlier, because you would have got all that sort of antagonistic stuff early, would have come back as love. We all, everyone here, and I'm sure our broader audience, do wish you well. It's a big operation, big surgery, major surgery on Saturday on the old ticker, but you always had a big one. And we wish you well from the bottom of our hearts. We know you'll be fine and you'll be back on SEN next year.
Thanks, Gaz. Thanks, Tim.
Go on, your mic. You've been great this year.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
It's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
And you won't get charged a search fee either. They'll find a heart in there.
KB's up next. Greg Denham's going to join us. I'm sure he watched the international rules. Old Benham Denham. He would have loved it. Marco Allen, Zappas and Martin Blake all coming up with Kevin Butler.
G'day, Seahawks here. To catch the latest show, podcast and listen live, download the SEN app. Hear us crystal clear always. SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. We're clear on that.